Well, good morning again. I just had a comment again about Jack's class this morning. The verse I couldn't think of when he was talking about the person on the desert island was Romans chapter 2, verses about 11 through 16, the Gentiles being a law unto themselves. By nature they do those things, by their conscience. And that was the verse I was trying to think of when I made that comment. Anyway, we're thankful to be together again this morning. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about stress, about anxiety, and we're going to talk about peace. Peace that passes understanding. So that's where my thoughts are going this morning. Brother Bill read Philippians 4, 1 through 9, and I'm kind of going to center around verse 7, which reads, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus." So we have in this one sentence, we see that peace for the Christian is found only in Jesus. He's our guardian. He's our friend. He's our brother. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our comforter. He's our guide. He's our teacher. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He is our peace, and so on. So, and we know that God himself placed Jesus in this position. Philippians 4 and verse 5 tells us that he is at hand. He's near to us, and we are dear to him. So these are things that we're told that can help us to achieve peace in our life. I guess we might say that a short explanation of this verse is that Jesus died on the cross to make peace between us and God. And the Apostle Paul urges the Philippians to receive this peace through prayer. So we have peace and we have prayer put together here. And really, when you think about it, can you really have one without the other? I don't think so. John 14, verse 26 through 27 says that peace comes from God. It's not found in the world, but it comes from the Holy Spirit as new creations. We are no longer slaves to sin. And we might include that in anxiety and stress. When it talks about the heart, we're talking about, it's commonly spoken of as the seat of affection, but I'm not sure that this is not generally what is meant in Scripture. I think what we're talking about there is this inner person, this true person, as distinct from the outward person, which can oftentimes be a false person. I was talking about who you are inside. When he talks about the mind, he's talking about, intended to mean that the person that has the mind of Christ, and who is not only a spiritual person, but he knows God's plans, he knows God's judgments on anything that, any matter that we might have before us. We go to 2 Timothy 1:7, Titus 2:6. It speaks of a sound mind. Well, when we think of a sound mind, I'm sure you have your own thoughts about what that might be. I think it refers to a person of prudence, a person of discretion, a person of discipline, well balanced, and most importantly of all, under the influence of Jesus the Christ. So, the reason that we need the peace of God is so that we won't be anxious or worried. Not to say that we won't be, but we'll talk more a little bit about that later, but it's a peace that we feel. It's a peace that comes from complete trust in Jesus the Christ. Now, I know we have to be careful about feelings. But in this case, one of the things that this is talking about is being anxious about basically the supply of our needs, the things that we need. Going to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, and I'll go ahead and read that. No one can serve two masters. Either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, now he says therefore here because of that, in the preceding from verse 1, he talked about charitable deeds. He talked about when you pray. He talked about forgiveness. Verse 19, he talks about laying up treasures on earth. Verse 22, he talks about the lamp of the body. And again in verse 24, you cannot serve two masters. So then he says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, they reap, nor gather into barns, that your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They neither grow nor they spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient of the day is its own trouble. Now, what he's talking about here, Jesus was speaking this to his apostles, those that would be his apostles. He is speaking this to those that are gathered around him, and he is speaking this to us today through the Bible. And so it's about going about being confident, being committed, committing everything to the Lord Jesus. We go to Isaiah chapters 26 and verse 3. And some of the, most of these scriptures that I'm going to be reading to you are going to refer about steps to peace in your life. Isaiah 26 and 3, it reads, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. In other words, he's saying here, keep the faith. You know, how can we, how we think things that are important, we need to look in the Bible and see what God says is important. And we are said that we are to have the mind of Christ. And so when we talk about the mind of Christ, what does that mean? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah 40, verse 13, and then he makes this statement. We can have the mind of Christ. I guess the question this morning is, do we have the mind of Christ? And what is involved in having the mind of Christ? Well, I think speak a few things about it. You can probably add to it, truth, honor, justice, patience, forgiveness, sacrificial giving, loving, goodness. And then we think about Galatians 5:22, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But I think another thing that we need to keep in mind here is that the plan is also about sharing the plan, sharing the purpose and the perspective of Jesus, which is something we all need to possess. And this, of course, can also help us in our quest to have peace in our life. It means we need to understand God's plan in the world to bring glory to God, restore creation to its intended purpose, and provide salvation to sinners and the hope of glory to Christians. It means we identify with Christ's purpose to seek and save the lost in Luke 19, verse 10. It means that we have the Jesus's perspective of humility and obedience that we read in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. It needs that we need to have his compassion, Matthew 9, 3. And most importantly, prayerful dependence on God. The situation that was faced by the Christians in the first century was tenuous. At times it was fleeting. At times it cost them their possessions. It cost them their life. And so when we look at the peace that passes understanding, it's really, we're talking about a peace that men and women just can't conceive or imagine. It's not created by mankind. Some people describe peace as the absence of trouble. But what we read in John chapter 16 and verse 33 is that in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. But if we go back to the beginning of that verse, 33, it reads, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And so we also see that this is a supernatural peace that God offers us in the midst of our trials. It really defies explanation. It defies human logic. It's a peace of the highest possible kind. The Apostle Paul used this term in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, and also some different ideas of expression that defy our human logic. In Ephesians 3:19, he wrote about the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the goodness of God. So you and I, if we're committing our way to God, and it's like knowing that God is going to take care of everything in the right way or the way that it should be, we can have this is a step towards the peace that passes understanding. It can be found nowhere else but in Jesus the Christ, in his body, the church, and with the members having the mind of Christ. It's not based on our understanding. It's not based on our circumstances. It's based on God's promise to us. When we trust Jesus, we can have peace even in the times of crisis in our lives. And the peace that shall keep your hearts and mind, which is to say from anxiety, verse 6 of Philippians tells us how to approach and take hold of this supernatural peace. And the way that it tells us to do this is to begin with prayer. Pray about everything. We are to present our needs, our concerns to God. We are to thank him for our blessings. And so our mind will be preserved against distressing anxiety. The way to peace is to lay it all out before the Lord to keep your heart from trouble. When we look at the words shall keep in those verses, that is a military term. And it's a term that means the mind is going to be guarded just like a military camp or a castle. And I know that I need, I could sure use something to guard my mind, and I think we all probably could. But the latter part of that verse says, through Jesus Christ, it means by his intervention only. It's not just by mere confidence in God or only by prayer. It's confidence in God as revealed through our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ, and faith in him. You know, the Apostle Paul, he never lost sight of the truth that all security and all happiness is going to be found in Jesus Christ. And so Again, if we repeat Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. You know, I think that's something that we need to remember all the time, that we need to keep our mind stayed on Christ if we're going to have a perfect peace. You know, it wasn't all that long ago that people were wearing around little bracelets that said, what would you do, or what would Jesus do? And, you know, there is some truth in that. I thought at first it was just a catchy little jingle, you know. But what would Jesus do? Well, there's a lot of truth in that. We could apply that to the situations that come up in our life. Be a good thing to do. But if we go to John 14, verse 27 again, it reads, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." Well, as he's speaking these words to his disciples, we know that during the first century, danger was always at hand. If you got out of line with the government was there. If you got out of line with the Jewish leaders, they were there. But there was always danger in the time that Jesus is speaking about here. But what about our world? You know, we have the 21st century here. We live in a world that's really full of conflict, wars, disagreements, chaos, disappointments, stress. You know, quite often we might hear of someone who tells you how much stress they're under. And so, you know, the only place that I can think of that there could never have been any stress was in the Garden of Eden. And even that didn't last very long, probably just a short time. And, you know, and we're not saying that you're never going to experience, not ever going to experience stress. But the answer is, what do you do with it? And so we have in Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, we have the event recorded that Jesus' sweat was as drops of blood. And then we look at what his response was. His response was that he prayed more earnestly to God. Now, some see this sweat as drops of blood as a simile, like heavy drops of blood that drip from an open wound. But did you know there is a medical condition that produces these symptoms? Now, Luke, being a physician, he might have known this. I don't know how he could have known it, but I suppose he could have. But it's a condition that's called, and I'm going to be real careful how I pronounce this, hematidrosis. Very rare. Usually occurs in extreme levels of stress. And it's where our sweat glands are surrounded by tiny blood vessels, and they can seep into the sweat when they're constricted and dilated and rupture. And like I say, it only occurs in rare levels, but it is a condition. Going to Romans chapter 12 and verse 12 also gives us some insight into how to attain peace in our lives. It reads in part, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." So one of the steps is hopeful. What our hope? What is our hope? Being patient, being prayerful. So there's the three little words that are recipe for peace. And, you know, being patient in affliction is really not natural, or it doesn't come naturally. But we need to look at the trials that come to us in our lives as preparing us for this peace. It's not something that you arrive at overnight. It's going to take a while to adjust to these things. The last part of Romans 12:12 is the key. Faithfully presenting ourselves to God for His help. I'm going to go ahead and read Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Romans 12, 9 through 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. He's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So here again, we have another recipe for attaining peace in our life. It pretty much sums up some practical ways to have inner peace, and especially being constant in prayer. And so other things to consider if you find yourself feeling stressed or anxious is to take a few minutes and list all of the things that you are thankful for. And if you do this, this will help change your perspective, your attitude, and this is another very good way to do that. Meditate on the promises of God. You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to make a list of all the promises of God. I would suggest the New Testament. If you go into the Old Testament and do that, you're going to come up with a great big large number. But anyway, it'd just be a good idea to go through the New Testament and make a list of the promises of God. Kind of keep them handy. It helps us to rest upon Him. It helps us to see our current situation in the light of eternity. So, going to Psalm 119:105 reads, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." So, when we meditate on the word of God, on the promises of God, what it's saying here, it will just help us to see our way more clearly. Another way to experience peace is talked about is walk by faith or in faith. This means to trust God, even when we don't understand our situation. God's knowledge is a whole lot more vast than our knowledge. And so, trust God. It means that we believe God is good, even when our circumstances aren't so good. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 reads, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." So, walking by faith, we please not. As a young Christian, you might not always find it easy to trust God when we don't understand what He's doing. And so that's when we live by faith. But when we live by faith, that's another step to finding peace. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." So, don't tell yourself you can't walk a straight path, because majority of the time, you can if you keep your mind set on God. You know, sometimes we think we have to understand everything that's going on around us, but you know, we really don't. We just need to trust that God's in control. And when we do, that's another step towards peace. Psalm 5:22 reads, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." So, when we do this, this is another step towards experiencing the peace that passes understanding. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Reiterates this thought, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you." Proverbs 19 and 21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart." We all have plans. What we're going to do tomorrow, what we're going to do next week. But Proverbs 19, 21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." So, if our plans aren't in sync with God's plans, we're destined for failure. That's all it amounts to. We may have our own plans, but we need to remember that God is in control, that His purpose will prevail. And so, another step, remembering that God's in control. Isaiah 46, verse 10. "God knows the beginning from the end, and that His purposes will stand." I think what he's saying there is he has a plan for our life. He has a purpose for our life. We may not always know or understand, but we can trust that God knows what He's doing. Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Well, what's he saying there? Well, you know, sometimes we just need to stop doing and thinking and problem solving, and just leave matters with God. When we have done all we can do, give it to God. Be still. Exodus 14 and 13. In this verse, this chapter, Moses and the Israelites had a problem. And the problem was, it was a problem that they had no ability to solve. And so we have one man who stood up, and that was Moses. He had faith that God could solve this problem. He trusted God. Pharaoh's chariots were bearing down on them, and Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." What a statement of faith. You know, he said, you know, don't go running nilly-willy and trying to hide in the mountains and the caves and picking up rocks. And he's saying, watch what God will do. It takes patience for us to do that. Here's what he said. He said, "Do not be afraid." Or in other words, don't stress. "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see no more." So Moses is saying, God has got this. So when you come upon that problem that you just can't solve, by trust and faith, give it to God and relax and see what He does with it. And you want to do this not half-heartedly, but you want to do it in full assurance and full trust, you know, and even understanding that it may not turn out the way you want it to or the way you would like to have it turn out. You know, there's six other scriptures that comprise 15 ways of having the peace that passes understanding. And I'm just going to list the rest of them. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Matthew 6, 33, which we read. Mark 4, 39. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. So just a word about peace in the church. I'll close with 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33 that reads, "God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Now, the apostle here is writing to a church that was facing problems relating to worship. They were problems related to immorality, confusion, disorder. And one of the things that underlies this is these problems that they're having don't come from God. God is not the author of confusion. God is the author, the originator, and the source of peace. If there's conflict, it doesn't occur because of God. God is a remedy for conflict, for confusion, and for disorder. His truth is calm, peaceful, thoughtful, not disorderly, not like we see in the Corinthian church that he was dealing with. You know, whenever true religion is spread, it tends to produce peace and order. If there's going to be disorder where there is little religion, and so in the church, in the Christian, in us, peace is just clustered around Jesus Christ and his teaching. Reverence and decorum is called for when the presence of a holy God, when engaged in his worship. To have the peace of God in our lives and his church, we have to have Jesus Christ in our lives. If we go to Ephesians chapter 2:17, we see that Jesus preached peace. The Bible says, "And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near." So what did he preach? He preached the good news, the gospel. He preached the message of salvation. He preached the message of obedience to God and salvation in Jesus the Christ. And so the message that is peace, the message is peace that brings peace between God and man. And when we have peace between God and ourselves, then we have that true peace that passes understanding. There's a great many scriptures concerning peace in the Bible, and really too many to cover this morning, but Satan wants you to have discord. He wants you to have chaos. He wants you to have disunity. He wants you to have war in your life. But the good news is that God wants you to have peace and calm. And the way to that is simply Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that leads to peace. But you know, to have that peace, you have to take that first step. You have to obey the gospel. And we offer that gospel invitation to you this morning. If you've not accepted the Lord Jesus, there's no better time than to do it than now. Because if you don't, you're never going to achieve peace in your life. You're never going to achieve that peace that passes understanding. You know, I've seen situations where men have remained calm in the face of terrible things going on around them. And it was because of their trust in God. If you're subject to the gospel invitation this morning, whether primarily baptism, we offer that to you this morning as Dennis Denton leads the final song.